The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
I'm going to invite Belai Zelika to come up. Belai is studying at Tabor to be a pastor. And part of his study is to be here in this placement and to share God's message with us today. Now, the difference between Belai and us is he's thinking in two different languages at the same time. So Belai speaks Amharic, and he speaks English, and usually the English comes out when he's preaching.
Hopefully today.
Belai has an opportunity to share with us this morning about the talents, but if you could, just briefly share with us your story of how you got to this place.
That's a long one, but it just summarized quickly. Then I came to Australia legally with a passport. The government stamped it. And then they say, go. And then I got here, and then they put my mother in prison looking for me. And that tells me, but later on she said, where is my son? You tell me, you are the one who let him go. And then they said, okay, this thing is let it rest. And then they didn't okay. But that gave me a sign that I came here for purpose. The purpose is not to live fantastic life and in luxury. That is as a bonus. But I came here for his ministry, to be trained and to be his minister. That's what I believe.
And we are blessed to have you here today. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Belai, for allowing him to participate in ministry. And as we look at the parable of the talents, how it intersects with our daily lives, give us a great foretaste of how grace lives in our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Have fun.
I thought when I address this morning, I thought my fear and nervousness is going to disappear for the second time I come up here. No different. But I'm better than what it was before. I tell you this. I will break through this fear and nervousness because I know by participating and as his instrument, God will help me to go through it. Today, as you heard about the parable of the talents, and when I studied this parable, the thought came to my mind is about the servant who buried his talent or a bag of gold in this case. And I'm just asked the question, why? Why did he go there and bury his talent? And you probably say, that's obvious. We heard it just then. He's afraid of his master. That's true. But what is the real source of his reason to bury, to prevent him from participating in his master's scheme? The other question came to my mind is, what kind of picture do we have about God when you think about God? What was in our mind? Especially when you commit sin, and then afterwards something happened, bad thing happened to you. Are you associating, that was a punishment for the sin I committed previously? Or what about confession? Why do we confess? Do we confess to buy insurance policy for our safety and security, like insurance cover? If I got confess, no punishment for me. Or is it an exercise to build a relationship with loving father, with his child? To learn to forgive, to love, to come closer to your beloved father and child, and to grow. Let's pray. Xavier Sarakitam Lakachinoi Namasa Gnadlan. Xavier Amlakachinoi, Lubachin Namurachin and Kafet. Memphis Kadusoi, Anta Astamaran. Yet Amar nonum Dagmo Betagbar and Dinal Erdan. Begeta by Jesus Christos Sim. Amen. I wasn't speaking in tongue. I was simply praying in my native language. I just thought I better clear that one. As you see, this parable of the talent is about the present and the end of time. Actually, if you go back even further from chapter 21 on, Jesus was telling them, preparing them for the end of time, about end of time, as he approaching to his suffering and death and resurrection. In chapter 24, verse 3, while Jesus on the Mount of Olives, the disciple asked him a question about the end of time. Jesus started to explain, to answer their question with the series of parables. The parable of the talent was one of them. In this parable, the master about to go on journey. It also seems he wants to expand his wealth and kingdom. Therefore, he called his servants. He know his servants. He know them very well. He trusts them. He has confidence in them. He considered them as worthy. So he gave them, for the first one, he gave 5. For the second one, he gave 2. For the third one, he gave 1. And then he didn't put procedure and restriction and in a way to do it. He just left it to them freely to do whatever they desire, their heart desire to do it. To participate, to expand his kingdom and wealth. And then he left. He came back. And then he rewarded the first one and the second one. Without holding nothing. He didn't hold back. He gave them everything. He allowed to experience the joy in his kingdom. But the third one, he sent them to punishment. The interesting thing is, he's telling this to his 12 disciples who often in trouble themselves. You can read Mark how much Jesus was frustrated about them. Probably when they hear this parable, they consider, oh, probably I am one of the one, you know, with one talent, the one who buried. I don't know, but I would consider myself probably that's the one. I think when the master gave them the talent, his focus was on their participation. When he comes back, his focus was on their faithfulness. When we look at it, the third servant, he took his talent or bag of gold and hid it. And why? His master considered him worthy like the other two. He recognized his ability like other two, the other two. He considered him, he can do the job. And that's why he called him like the other two. Even he gave him opportunity to do it, what his heart desired, to expand his kingdom and wealth, and in the opportunity to participate, like he did with the other two. Then why does he go and bury it? Because this servant has different image about his master. He thinks he knows his master. He has bad image about his master. His master is unforgiving, unloving, inconsiderate, harsh, unjust. He has no grace for his servant. This image he has in his mind is negative association led him to fear. That fear forced him to be isolated from his master. He's away from his master. The image distorted even more. Therefore, the fear dictates his thoughts and control the action he takes. We see that in the story. The time and resource effort he spent digging the hole, burying it, and then sit there and worry about it. And then when the master comes in and go there and dig it out and then to give it to his master, which he could have just take that, put it in a bank, and then earn interest. That's what the master said. He could have done that. I don't think he knows his master very well at all. With not knowing his master very well, the fear became a stronghold in his life. As a result, when the time comes, he end up with punishment. What is the message we have in this parable? The first one is participation and faithfulness. The first thing comes to my mind is a good one, is the story of Moses. Exodus 3, 7 to 14, you better look at it. When God and Moses met at the burning bush, and then God said to him, Moses, I heard the cry and suffering of my people. I came down to free my people from Egyptian. That is good. And in verse 10, if you look at it, it says, Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to free my people. That is okay, a messenger. And then further go down, and then it says, bring my people from Egypt. It looks like as if Moses is doing the job. But we know the story. Moses participated faithfully. He gave himself to do it faithfully. What he heard in him, what God puts in him, faithfully. And then we see God working through. A famous preacher once preached badly, so bad. He finished it. He ran to his room and then prayed, "Lord, what was that? What was that, Lord?" God said, "That was you without me. If you guys, brother and sisters, if you touch people's heart through your service, this service could be singing, preaching, praying, advising, friendship, comfort, support, caring for others. Remember this. God is working. You are just participating." Jesus knows us very well. Each one of us personally. He knows our capability and our ability. He gave us a gift according to our ability to serve him. The second one is the stranglehold in our life that hinder us from participating in God's plan. What is the stranglehold in your life that holds you away from participating in God's plan? Is it fear? Fear of judgment? Fear of disappointment? Is it loneliness or isolation? Is it hopelessness or feeling trapped or stuck? Is it bad experience or memory? Is it lack of self-esteem or self-confidence? Is it insecurity, self-image, identity, and self-criticism? This and other more ties us down and keep us away from participating in God's plan. Sometimes they dictate our thoughts, control the action we take, even distort our understanding and image about God. You see, God created us in his image. When we see someone doing wrong, we associate that with God. After all, that person is the image of God. That's what we think. That changes the image we had about God. Thank God. He sent Jesus to see now who the right image is. What is your picture about God? What is your understanding about God in your mind? Because you will respond to God accordingly. Remember, our image about God often influences our approach to God, towards God. Finally, God created you in his image. He knows you very well. He cares about you so much. The scripture tells us in John 3:16, he loved us so much, he sent his only son to die for our salvation. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus shows us in action, saying, you are precious to me. You are worth it to suffer, die for. You have to do is turn around and then say to him, I am here, Lord. Reveal yourself to me to understand you, know you more. I assure you, he revealed to you. He revealed himself to you through his word. Through his spirit, personally. Through his body, the church, and brother and sisters. Through his creation, sunset, sunrise, beach, moon, stars, flowers, butterfly, birds, all around us. To participate, all you have to do is bring forward what God already put in you. Participate. I come back again to Moses. Moses, as he ordered, he did everything, and then he stopped. Where? In front of the Red Sea. He has to bring what he have, what he puts in him. He stretched right, if you look at it, Exodus 14:21. It says, he stretched out to the sea, he stretched his hand out of the sea to participate faithfully, entirely, and in the sea divided open. God did the work. God showed him he is at work. He freed his people to the promised land on dry ground across. Brother and sisters, all God wants you to bring what he's already put in you. In every situation, any situation, a stranglehold or any other, just bring it and then participate. God divide that to cross over to his kingdom full of joy. Thank you.